The church was made and established by God to be radiant and beautiful and glorious. And it was. In its beginning days, in the book of Acts, that's why I read from, got it read today from Acts chapter 2, it was beautiful. It was glorious. It was brand new. It was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything was just absolutely great. But if you know anything about church history, the church has become blackened and darkened over time because of the pollution of the world creeping in and because of the ways of human beings being taught rather than the ways of God. And I know the church has been up and down. There's been times of revival. Some of our hymns come from those times when the church is reborn, so to speak, and it looks beautiful. And then we go back into darkness. And now we live in a day and age where we need to be revived. We need to be alive again. And this morning I want us to consider the first church. I'm so glad it's recorded here for us in Acts chapter 2 what the first church looked like. There are great things here for us to learn. Here it is, isn't it great that God in his wisdom has recorded for us what the first church looked like so that we might reflect upon it and see what made them tick. What should we be like as well? It doesn't tell you how the church service order should be. It tells you something much more important than that. We're going to see this church, this first church, we're going to see its priorities, its practice, and its praise of God. And friend, I just want to say to you, that's exactly how we're meant to be as well. We need to be always revived and refreshed by remembering what we're meant to be. We ain't meant to be working it out in terms of what fits now. The church is always meant to be radiant by being a people of priority and a certain practice and praise as we see in the early church. And so may God help us look at this passage today and consider how we're meant to be. Now, the other reason why I'm mentioning this is that on the 31st of May, when Bob was sharing at communion, we missed out, really, on that Sunday, celebrating Pentecost Sunday. That's normally the day when we celebrate the birth of the church. Because of the COVID-19, we couldn't meet in Mass. And so that day went. And Pentecost Sunday, do you know that's the seventh Sunday after Easter Sunday? Well, guess what this Sunday is? This is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost Sunday. So I thought, let's make this our Pentecost. Let's look at the church. Let's get excited about what we're meant to be. Let's remember who we are to be. And not only are we to be a church that is to be radiant, like the church of old, we're meant to be a church that is alive. You know, a lot of people can boast about our church is alive. Look at our activities. Look at this. Look at that. But God looks at other things. You're alive if you look like the church in Acts chapter 2. In fact, there's a very strong word given by Jesus to a church in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, Jesus said these words to the church in Sardis. I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wow, what strong words. But you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain. That was Jesus' words to that church. We still love that church. And we need to make sure that we're awake, that we are following God's ways. We are to be like the first church. We're going to see their priorities, their practice, and their praise. Okay, let's begin. Let's have a look at their priorities. And I'm going to get you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And there we have it. We see their priorities. There were four things that they gave priority to. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As simple as that, these were the things that they focused upon. You see that there? So clear. The apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And if we want to be a church that is alive, if we want to be a people that are radiant for God, then that's the sort of things that we need to give priority to. Let's have a look at each one. What does it mean that they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching? It means that they were constantly coming under and taking in the word that the apostles were giving. And why is there an emphasis on the apostles? Because the apostles were those hand-picked ones by Jesus who were giving sense to the Old Testament and making it clear who Jesus is, and they were actually given power by Christ to give foundation to the church. There's a really important verse on that. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 it says, we have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Yes, Christ is the cornerstone and his apostles were the ones who laid the foundation. And the church listened to the apostles' teaching. Now I've got to say to you, I know some may disagree, but I'm very strong on this. There are no apostles today. The apostles of that were allocated were picked by Jesus. They had to be a witness of the resurrection. They had to be people filled with the Holy Spirit and they had to be taught by Christ. Even Paul talks about that. He saw Christ and he was taught by Christ and saw Christ and he became one of the great apostles. And it's the apostles who only were permitted to lay the foundation of the church. There are people today who call themselves apostles and believe they have a new word from God. That is wrong. And I praise God that the apostles' teaching, the real apostles, their word is recorded for us. So even though we cannot hear them and come under their teaching like this, we can come under their teaching by taking out the word of God and reading it. And apostles' teaching became the New Testament. Does that mean we throw out the Old Testament? No! What's so great is the apostles preach from the Old Testament. And they also help us understand how to view the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, look for Christ. Look for the glory of God. Look for the way of faith. And they brought that out as they taught the people. I am so glad we have the New Testament. And to be in a live church, to be a radiant church, requires the church to give absolute importance to the Word of God, to the reading of the Word of God, that preaching, whether it be in the church or in youth groups, kids clubs, it'd be faithful to the Word of God. If we want to be alive, if we want to be radiant, that's what we must do. And, of course, it needs to happen in our own life. We're meant to be like this church, continually devoted to this. That means even in our own lives, continually devoted means this morning, did you read your Bible on your own? What about tomorrow? Do you read the scriptures? Do you take in the Word of God? Are you devoted, continually devoted to God's Word? That's how you need to be. Otherwise, we will not be alive and we will not be radiant. We will be dead and we'll be dreary. How we need the Word of God. Let me now turn to the next one. The other priority they had was not only to the apostles' teaching, but also to fellowship. They love fellowship. And we're going to see their fellowship a little bit more when we read through verses 43 to 46, but not yet. But let me just say to you that they so loved fellowship. They gave it a priority. They knew that it wasn't about doing God on your own, but being together. What is fellowship? Fellowship is not our socializing. It's not just like meeting up and doing something fun. It's like meeting in the name of Jesus to build each other up in our most holy faith. This is fellowship, where Jesus is central, and how we are to love fellowship, how good it is to build each other up, how good it is to encourage one another. When we're doing our series through the book of Hebrews, do you remember that great passage on fellowship? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. The church back then was so switched on to fellowship. And that's how we're meant to be as well. Okay, let's have a look at the next thing. The next thing is in Acts 2:42, they had a priority. They put a priority on the breaking of bread. What is the breaking of bread? That is a phrase coined that comes from when Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper. That is to say, breaking of bread is a reference to communion. They were continually devoted to breaking bread, that is, remembering Jesus' death like we do. continually devoted to it. Even though they lived after the resurrection, Jesus was alive, the apostles saw Jesus alive, they were continually devoted to remembering his death, just as Jesus commanded. And any church that wants to be alive, any church that wants to be radiant, needs to always be going back, constantly reminding themselves of the death of Christ, the love of God in Christ, what Jesus did for us. And today we live in a period of time when communion is sidelined, or it's done casually in church while you're doing other things. Or don't even have it in church because it might offend a non-Christian, so let's just remove it to your own homes. This is what's going on in many churches today. That is not a good thing. It's meant to be something that we do and cherish and love, that we are continually devoted to. It's meant to warm our soul when we remember. It's not just that we remember how sinful we are. We want to remember how wonderful Jesus is and how he laid down his life for us, how his body was just crushed for us, and how he shed his precious blood to purchase us, that we really matter to God and we are so loved. We are meant to remind ourselves of this constantly because we need it. We drift. We drift away. We forget about the love of Christ for us. So let us continue to break bread constantly. And the other priority we see in this church is prayer. You see that in Acts 2:42? The last thing mentioned is prayer. They were people who prayed. A people who prayed, and that's how we're meant to be as well. It's good that we have church prayers, we call it. We have a monthly prayer meeting. You're meant to be attending that and being caught up in prayer. In our home groups, we're meant to be praying. We're meant to be praying constantly on our own. In our own quiet time, we're meant to be praying to the Lord and praying to him. And how we're meant to pray is like this. I think of some key verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:12, if I summarize it there, it says, pray in the Spirit. Let God's Spirit lead you and guide you. In Philippians 4:6, it says, pray with thanksgiving. Well, let's think of Jesus' prayer, the prayer example he gave us. We are to pray with adoration. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're meant to be caught up in prayer. The church back then, the church that was radiant and alive, the New Testament church, they were a church who prayed. How they loved to pray. So we need to be as well. So, the challenge to us, as we look at on our second Pentecost Sunday, we missed the first one. The challenge for us is to remember what has been recorded for our benefit in regard to what church should look like. We're not talking about whether you sing modern songs or hymns. We're talking about core stuff. So what should church look like? There should be a priority in our life towards the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so what we need to ask ourselves individually and then as a church, what are our priorities? What are we constantly devoted to? That's it. That's what we should look at. What are we devoted to in our life? As you live life, as you work, as you do all sorts of things, as you study, what are we continually devoted to? If we as individuals, like the church of old, are devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, then we will be radiant and we will be alive. If we choose not to be, if they are sidelined, then we will find ourselves dead and in darkness. That's how serious it is. How we need to make right priorities that we might be alive. Okay, so they were church of these four things, of priorities, these priorities. The next thing I want to look at is how they practiced church. And that's in verses 43-46. So let me read those words to you now. Acts 2:43-46. And this is exciting, seeing how they lived. Verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Daily, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. What a picture! What a church! This is the church of our Lord Jesus when it is alive. Let me say to you, this is what the church looks like when you're following out Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Following those priorities. So there's three things I want to highlight. There's many things, but three things. I love in verse 43 how it says they had a sense of awe. Do you like that? That's the first thing mentioned. They had a sense of awe. What are they talking about? A sense of awe. They had a sense of awe because they saw God working. As they honoured God by living lives of proper priority, they saw God working in their midst. At the end of verse 47, one of those things, it says at the end of verse 47, is that the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. People were being saved. Not only that, people were being touched and healed and transformed by the mighty working of God who was real, working in the midst. And they had a sense of awe. Now we need to have a sense of awe. As we faithfully commit ourselves to Christ, to those four priorities, we are to live in expectation and have a sense of awe of God moving in our midst. Do you sense God moving in our midst? Do you sense His presence? Is this real to you? God's people are meant to have a sense of awe. This is better than going to some big concert. This is awesome. We are meeting God. God is present with us. And we're meant to have a sense of awe. Church has become, in many churches these days, a casual affair. Wow, what happened? What happened to us meeting God? What's going on? The church back then had a sense of awe. That's how we're meant to be as well. Not only did they have a sense of awe, they had a sharing attitude like no other. You see how much they shared. They were just helping each other. You've got to remember the church back then, it was like masters and slaves, men and women, all mixed together. But they saw each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And they loved each other, and it showed itself by the way they shared with each other. They weren't into selfishness, but selflessness. They weren't into getting, but giving. They weren't into being worldly, but godly. How it showed themselves. People were selling property and possessions, the nest egg, whatever, to help those who were poor, to help those who were struggling in life. What a church. A church that was so switched on. What a church. That's how we're meant to be as well. Let me just say, it's been a joy to know that many in our church have been actually giving money to care for people in our church, and I've got the joy of going to people and saying, here, have this, and here's a gift card and all that. And you know, what we need to do is just keep doing this, not just because of a pandemic, but we need to be looking out for each other, caring for each other. It might be giving money, it might be helping people with jobs, it might be just sitting with people and chatting with them, how we are to care for each other. How we are to be marked by having a sharing attitude. And the other thing I want to mention in this section is verse 46. They were a people who had a sincere heart for what? They had a sincere and glad heart for being together. Right back to fellowship. They loved, it says in verse 46, being together in the temple with one mind, breaking bread from house to house. Do you see the attitude here? It wasn't like they had to go to church. It wasn't like it was a burden to them. They had sincerity and gladness of heart. I can imagine them rocking up to the temple, meeting with God's people there, and they just got a song in their step already as they go to church. They had an anticipation, a joy in coming together. And that's how it's meant to be for us as well. We're meant to really appreciate each other, love to see each other. That's been my joy. You know, with 20, I'm missing everyone else. And then it was 100. I really felt for it when I couldn't be here on the first Sunday when we had 100. We were in Durian. I just so wanted to be here and to see you. Everyone said, we're seeing you, Ian, and seeing Rod on the camera, but we're not seeing you. And we were missing you all. And it's so nice to be together, to see each other. And you know, we're all different. I know some of us can be a bit of hard work to get to love, but we've got to love each other and care for each other and support each other. That's how it is. Yeah, amen indeed. Church is exciting if we get church right. If we get church right. Do you love this church here? That's what we're meant to be like. Praise God that He recorded for our benefit what it should look like. Church, what is it about? Let me think of it. The world would think of church as it's all about ritual and religion and rules. And they've got a right to think that, sadly. That's not what church is about. Church is about reverence. It's about relationship. It's about righteousness. It's about good things. Where God's people are revived, constantly refreshed. They look like a people who are alive. That's how we're meant to be. All right, now let's look at our last point. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And it goes on to say that they were praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, I've already read the last part of verse 47, people being saved. You know what I want to focus on now? Just two words. Praising God. Did you hear what I just said? They were praising God. They were people who were marked by having this great delight in God Himself. Yes, they had right priorities. Yeah, what practice they did in their church. But they were people of praise. And that's what we're meant to be like too. I don't reckon we're there yet. Of course we're not. We're meant to be a people growing in praise. What does it mean to praise? It means to be so delighted in God. I love the hymn, Love Divine, or Love Excelling, we hardly sing it, but at the last verse, I know the last verse, it says, lost in wonder, love and praise. It's meant to be our joy, our delight to be in relationship with God, to have eyes opened and to behold the one who is beautiful beyond compare, to the one who loves and adores us, even though where we've come from is unbelievable and that we're His children now. Wow. I think there's three big things about God, and I'm sure the New Testament church was caught up in this. Three big things all start with the word G. God is great, God is gracious, and God is good. That's enough to get you fired up, isn't it? What a great God we have come to love and adore. The God who created the universe from nothing is our Father, who we have the privilege to come before His throne to be welcomed and received. All because of Him, His heart for us, and what He's done for us in Christ. And what a God of incredible grace. What grace! We ought to be praising God just because of His awesome grace. Let me remind you of how the New Testament church would have felt. On this first day when the church was born, the Apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, this man, that's Jesus, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Well, that's pretty full on words. What do you think? Are they okay? No, I reckon they're pretty full on. And then verse 36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that's Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Man, that was the last part of your sermon. Pretty full on sermon. So can you imagine what the people are hearing? But you know what? Something amazing happens. I've got to read it. Here we go. Verse 37 onwards. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. All right. So in the context of what's going on, do you reckon the grace of God would be pretty big? Absolutely. We put Jesus to death. We got Jesus wrong. We were responsible for putting the Saviour to death. And yet we're saved by Him. We are forgiven through him. Wow. Wow. No wonder they were people who wanted to praise God. Because God's not just great, he's so gracious. And he is to us too. And the other good thing about God is he's always good to us. Even if we don't think he is, God is good. All the time. All the time. Oh, you got it. Right, that's good. Let's do it again. God is good? All the time? That's right. And he is. There are blessings for us every day. And surely that must fire you up as well to give praise to God. We're meant to be a people of praise, praising God all the day through. You know, I can't help again. I'm just going to jump into something else because I get a little bit, my brain can go all over the place. You know, I remember the church. The church, they praised God even when things were tough. Do you know that? Where is it? Let me find it. I remember in Acts chapter 4, just a few chapters on, it says after the apostles had been arrested and how they were beaten, it says in verse 23, listen to this church. Acts 4:23, when they had been released, that is the apostles, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. You know what they did? They did two things. They prayed and they praised God. This is the church we're meant to be like. And I've got to read what they said. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're quoting from Psalm 2. Then it says, for truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Wow, what a church. Let's see the connection between God and his people. That connection so often in many of our churches is just lacking. What a connection between God and his people. God hearing every word and responding. Look at these people, a people of prayer. And they're praising God for his sovereign rule, praising God for who he is, his greatness. It's our joy and privilege to be lost in wonder, love and praise of him. To be a people who have, like this church of old, they have those priorities in place. They have this practice in place and they have praise on their lips constantly. These are the people that God delights in. These are the people that God will use in this darkened world for his glory and for the honour of Christ. This is the people we ought to want to be like. If you want to talk about revival, does the church need revival? Yes. Then this is what revival looks like, being like this people. And it's possible. It happens by each individual getting caught up with the right priorities of life. So may God help us on this second Pentecost Sunday. You get why? Yep, second Pentecost Sunday, that's good. Praise God for his love. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for the gift of the Spirit who was given on that first day and given still to us who believe in him even in the 21st century, that we might be a people who are alive and who are radiant for God. And may God help us at Bazo. We're just a small church in the context of this big world. And may this church be alive and radiant for the honour of our God and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we shine in the darkness how we need to shine like never before. Our Father, thank you for how as we live in these days, which I know many of us believe are those last days before Jesus' return, we know that we so desperately need you to work in our life, to move in our lives individually and also in our church, that we might be, according to in your eyes, a church that is alive and radiant. We thank you for the beautiful picture we have of the church back in the book of Acts. And it wasn't long before that church became tarnished. And like those buildings in Edinburgh, became polluted by the world. And Lord, we have been working against this pollution ever since. And how we are so often responsible for allowing it into the church and causing us to not be the people we're meant to be. We do that as individuals by getting our lives off track and having wrong priorities in our life. And I ask for us all, including myself, I ask for all my dear brothers and sisters and myself, Father, that you would help us to have those priorities that we see in the New Testament church. Help us to be devoted to your word, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Help us to put into practice the things that we know we should be doing, especially in caring for each other. And help us to be a people of praise. Lord, may it not just be that we praise you on a Sunday morning, but even this afternoon, even tomorrow, help us to be conscious of how great and gracious and good you are. May you hear from our lips, even in silence, from our heart, the praise that we give to you each day. Help us to be delighted in who we have become through faith in Jesus. Lord, may you continue to bless us. Please would you help us. Please would your church be revived in this world. May, Lord, many people see the truth of Christ through a church that is revived. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.